Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Bishop D.D. Lattimore, and thank you for joining the Metaverse Bible Study Podcast. And I have been sick over the last couple of, last couple of weeks. But the last few days, I just couldn't muster up the strength to do the podcast. So, I'm back up and running again, and thank you guys for tuning in today. Today, we're going to talk about in our mental health ministry. The title, Don't Let the Soul Go First. Don't Let the Soul Go First. It's podcast episode number 17, and we're going to start off with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Recently, he started talking about his struggles with depression, and doesn't matter how high you climb, depression will follow you anywhere and everywhere. And we're going to tie that into what Marcus Aurelius says about not letting the soul go first. So, but first, let's get into the news. So, this is Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and Dwayne is, famous for becoming a professional wrestler and an actor and all of those different things, but he still dealt with depression. And the news article says that Dwayne Johnson, he's one of the Hollywood's highest paid actors. But The Rock recently opened up about his depression to The Express, a British newspaper, in quote, "Struggle and pain is real," said Johnson, who saved his mother from a suicide attempt when he was 15. In quote, "Depression never discriminates," he tweeted later. In quote, "Took me a long time to realize it, but the key is not to be afraid to open up. Especially us dudes have the tendency to keep it in. You are not alone." Those are some words of wisdom from somebody who obviously dealt with depression. And that's going to be what we talk about today. We're going to talk about it in many different aspects, many different ways, but that is our show opener. And let's get into what Marcus Aurelius said about it. December 27, don't let the soul go first. In quote, Marcus Aurelius said, "It's a disgrace in this life when the soul surrenders first while the body refuses to." It's a disgrace in this life when the soul surrenders first and the body refuses to, while the body refuses to. Okay. That's what Marcus Aurelius said. And we'll jump back into that. But first, we have to take care of some business. So welcome to the Metaverse Bible Study Podcast, where we dive into timeless wisdom of the Bible and Stoic philosophy. I'm your host, Bishop D.D., and I'm honored to be your special and your spiritual guide on this journey. In each episode, we'll explore the rich tapestry of lessons, meditations, and reflections that have shaped many cultures and inspired many hearts throughout the centuries. Whether you're a pastor or a devout believer, or simply someone curious about the profound teachings of the Bible, you found a home here. So, if you need a friend, find a quiet moment, open up your heart, and join me as we uncover the profound insights and eternal truths woven in these ancient texts. This podcast is brought to you by BizExchange.network. Remember, your network determines your net worth. I joined BizExchange.network because I needed to increase my bottom line. This social media platform will surround you with people who can help you do just that. For a discount, use the promo code Metaverse. And finally, subscribe to the Metaverse Bible Study Podcast on YouTube today. Everyone that becomes a subscriber shares God's light into the dying world right along with us. So let your light so shine before men on YouTube and subscribe today. Thank you. All right. So let's hop into this. So we know that Dwayne The Rock Johnson is somebody who has had a lot of success over the years, and even gotten up to the highest paid actor in Hollywood, and has all of these accoutrements of success and all of these different things. But surprisingly, he says that depression has followed him up the ladder in his success. Okay. So for all of you who think that the house is going to make it better, or a car is going to make it better, or a prettier woman is going to make it better, or that your situation and circumstances, you'll get better. Whatever there is to depress you, it'll find you. It'll find you in the mansion. It'll find you in the Bugatti. It'll find you with the Jordans on. It'll find you no matter where you go. And there's two different types of depression that I want to talk about specifically. And I always have to make a delineation between the two, because people like to throw depression into this, you know, big bucket, and all depression is the same. All depression is not the same. You are depressed by many different things. And I like to make these two specific delineations. One is a depression of, you know, in the mind, as far as thought, like a thought based depression. It's a depression of being unhappy because of, you know, how you're thinking. There is another kind of depression that is biological. It's a biological depression. It's a chemical imbalance where you can't get your thoughts right because your chemicals, your hormones, there's not enough serotonin being processed, and you're going through in the mind, and you are a totally different person, because it's almost like, you know, nobody can, you know, when you're tired, nobody can, you know, rebuke you and say, stop being tired. You've had a long day of work. You know, you dealt with a whole bunch of stresses. You might have had a flat tire. You've gone through so much. You finally get home and you are whooped. You are beat. You are tired. That is a biological function. You are allowed to get tired. But when we think about depression, we don't think about depression like we think about somebody being tired. We don't see it as a biological thing. We don't see it as it is, you know, we don't have the energy, or the chemicals are not there to give us the energy. And we are, you know, depressed. And, you know, how your thinking is not quite there when you're tired either. Right. So when you're tired, your thinking is in a tired thinking. I don't feel like it. I don't want to be bothered. You get frustrated. You get mad. You get, you know, just in your feelings. And when you're tired, that tiredness, that biological process of being tired, has brought those attributes out of you. Well, the same thing is true with biological depression. The environment in your body is not conducive to you being happy. The biological environment of your body is not conducive with you being normal, or feeling normal, or having a sense of normality, right? So, and then not to mention, you know, whatever it's doing, it might also make you biologically anxious. So not only are you biologically depressed, you are biologically anxious, and you are biologically, you know, out of sorts. And it makes you tired. It makes you negative, right? So You know, next time you run upon somebody that's negative, you know, it might not just be because they're a nasty person. It might be because they have a chemical imbalance and they see things based off of how the environment of their body is showing it to them, right? So you have to be careful about lumping everything into just one big old bucket, right? Because there's a lot of people that's dealing with mental illness that has not been diagnosed, and they are not, they don't have a therapist, and they can't see anything other than through the depression or the environment of their flesh. And so everything is filtered through sadness or hopelessness, right? So The Rock is talking about his depression. I don't know whether his depression is biological or whether it's mental, right? But he says, no matter where I went, it followed me. The Rock was saying, no matter where I went, it followed me, you know? And it's a shame that pastors will get into a pulpit and then it will say, if you're depressed, you don't got enough faith. All you got to do is, you know, David said, why are you cast down on my soul? Or lift up your heads, O ye gates, and all you think, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is good report, think on these things. And they think that it's a quick fix if you just, you know, just think. But it's not often a quick fix all the time, right? Some people, because of what their body is going through, I don't know about you, but sometimes I've been so tired that I got tired of being tired. tired of being tired, sick and tired of being tired, right? So I know what it feels like to when tiredness comes upon me to get sick of that feeling of being tired. Likewise, people get tired of being depressed. They get so tired that they are willing to consider committing suicide, because when that feeling comes upon them and they don't want to deal with it, they don't want to deal with the thoughts, they don't want to deal with the battle of trying to navigate those waters, right? It's stormy seas out here. And they don't, the thoughts are not positive, and they're tired of steering themselves to a happy place when they just want to be in happy waters, not stormy seas. And it just doesn't matter where they go. They just, no matter what kind of, they can't even enjoy the successes that they have accumulated in their life, because it seems like there's, you know, smooth seas, sunny seas out there, right? And the next thing you know, these storms come up out of nowhere. You see it in the Bible when Christ is going to different places. You see it when all of a sudden a storm arises out of nowhere, and Peter has to go down in the ship and say, care us not that we perish. You know, everybody that's dealing with depression, that's how their life is. They find themselves in this happy place. They just accumulated some kind of success. They got a win under their belt. And then here comes storm. Here comes a rain. Here comes negativity. Here comes things out of nowhere that come to sink your boat. And you have to, like Peter, go deep down to find Jesus just to ask him, do you care what I'm going through or not? Do you see this? Do you feel this? Are you here? You're obviously here with me, but you're asleep, of all things. I would think that you would be watching me go through these storms, seeing that my ship is about to sink. But you are asleep. Why do I have to come down here and wake you up if you're in the same storm as me, right? So that's what people with depression, that's what they go through. They go through just, you know, no matter where they go, no matter how far they go out, you know, no matter how good it looks in the beginning, all of a sudden here comes these clouds. Here comes this storm. And it happens to them all the time, and they get tired. They watch everybody else walk around being happy, walk around being normal, walk around having healthy relationships, and you got a cloud everywhere you go. That cloud will find you in the bathroom. That cloud will find you indoors. That cloud will rain on your parade when you're at a birthday party or when you're trying to celebrate something or someone. And it just that, and those thoughts come. And next thing you know, you're trying to will yourself to be happy again. And then you shoo away the clouds and you get tired of shooing away the clouds. You get tired of shooing away these clouds. And at some point, people get so tired that they're willing to take their life because it doesn't seem, it's never gotten better. You've been strong. You've been steering this ship strong for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 40 years, some 50 years. And you get tired of the battle. You get tired of the fight, right? And this is what The Rock is saying. And what Marcus Aurelius is saying. So let's go over to Marcus Aurelius real quick and let's see what he has to say about the matter. He says, it's a disgrace if in this life, when the soul surrenders first, while the body refuses to. The title is Don't Let Your Soul Go First, right? Don't let your soul die first, right? That, you know, so you are not your body. Paul said, the things that I should do, I don't do. And the things that I don't do is the stuff that I should do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death? He said, it is no longer I, but sin that dwelleth in me. So he starts to make a disassociation with his sin. You understand what I'm saying? He starts to make a disassociation with his body. And he says, this is not me. This is not me. All right. So when he's saying, this is not me, he's now putting himself in a place of seeing that there is a separation. And this is what Marcus Aurelius is saying. He says, the soul surrenders and the body refuses to. So it's one thing to have a body that is healthy and alive. There's nothing wrong with your body. You're still young. You're still, you know, vigorous. You're still vivacious. You're still all this different kind of stuff. You're invigorating. You still got good youth to you. You don't feel old. You might be 30, but you don't feel old. 40, but you don't feel old. 50, but you don't feel old. Your body is just strong and moving around. And it seems like your body gets stronger and stronger with every year. But your soul, for some people, their soul is dying. I remember when my grandmother died, and everybody in my family knows that my Uncle Doug died with her that day. It's like when she died, he gave up. When she died, it was almost like he had nothing else to live for. And his mentality was something that was unreal. It was like his soul died, but his body was still here. Then next thing you know, his body started to degrade because of the state of his soul, right? So what Marcus Aurelius is saying, that's a disgrace. That's a disgrace. It's a disgrace in this life when the soul surrenders while the body refuses to. You are too young to be that depressed. You are too young to be that sad. You are too young. And you might be 40 or 50. If your body is saying that you are strong, that it's strong, then the truth of the matter is that your body's saying you're too young to be this depressed. Now, I want you to know the difference with what I'm saying. I'm talking about mental depression, not biological depression. Okay. When your body is depressed, okay, because of chemical imbalances, then, you know, your body is saying, hey, I'm staying stressed, right? Okay. You're not too young. Okay. This is you. All right. But when we're talking about mental depression, I'm talking about just, you know, you don't have chemical imbalances, you're just sad. Then your body is saying, I'm vigorous, but this soul ain't seeing it right, right? You don't want to die before your body does. Actually, you want your body to give out before you give out, right? That's the way it should be, right? Not that you're trying to hold on to every second of this life because you're afraid to die, but that, you know, your body is strong and you want to be in sync with the strength of your body, right? So you don't want your soul to die before your body is even ready to go. It's amazing. Like what if your soul dies at 20, but you live until you're 100? That's like 80 years of lifelessness with a strong body. You understand what I'm saying? And that's the disgrace of it, because you have to ask yourself, how many years are you going to waste letting your soul go first? How many years are you going to waste lifeless? Now, if you are going through biological depression, then you need to go see a doctor. You need to go see somebody who's going to help you out with your chemical imbalances. If you don't want to use the doctor medicines, then use natural healing, some kind of plant-based diet to help you fight against these, you know, deficiencies that you have in your body. You need to go see a therapist, because with deficiencies in the body, you get deficiencies in the mind, and your thoughts are not conducive to, you know, happy, prosperous living. So you need to go see a therapist, right? But if you don't have money for a therapist, then you always have your pastor. And listen, this is the difference between pastoralship and therapy, is that there's a lot of people who are pastors that try to play therapists. Just because you're a pastor doesn't mean you're a therapist. You are not qualified to talk in the intellectual arenas that the therapist has went to school for years and years and years and have learned, you know, psychology, I'm sorry, and has, you know, dedicated their lives to educational success in reference to the mind. Okay. So there's a lot of pastors out there that's trying to play therapists, but you know, you should have a, you know, recommendation for a therapist if you know that you are unqualified to deal with the things of, you know, that therapists deal with, because therapists can prescribe medications. Okay. As a pastor, what you need to do is not try to, you know, act like you are the therapist, but you should use the word of God to give them therapy, if that makes sense. It is the word of the Bible says the word of God is perfect, converting the soul. So your job as a pastor is to know the word of God better than everybody else, so that when people come to you with their problems, you will be able to find their situation in the word and give them the word and let the word do the work in therapy. You understand what I'm saying? So, as a pastor, you can get confused about, you know, the therapy, or become, you know, therapy as, you know, you being the therapist, but you are not the therapist. Actually, as a pastor, nothing about this is even about you. it's not about you. And the reason why it's not about you is because it's supposed to be Christ in you, the hope of glory, that does the work. You understand what I'm saying? So if it's actually Christ in you that's doing the work, then the person is not really coming to you. They're coming to the Christ in you. And you're supposed to be able to give them the word and allow the Christ in you and the word itself to work the therapy in the soul that needs it. You understand what I'm saying? There is an interesting scripture that says that, you know, when a person wants to abide in Christ, he said that the Father and the Son will both come to you and abide with you. Okay, so we see that as Christ and the Word come to do the therapy that's needed for the dejected soul. And so they're not even really coming to you as a pastor. They're really coming to Christ. And when you think that you're the therapist and not Christ the therapist, then you start giving them all of these opinions about their situation, and you're not giving them what the word says about their situation. And then now they're living through your opinions and not through the word, and you're messing people up, and you're messing up their thought process, and you're messing up how they should think, because now they're living vicariously, or you are living vicariously through them because of your opinions. So that is, you know, altogether the thing that you have to keep in mind about, number one, biological depression and mental depression. Number two, about therapy and getting therapeutic help, and your part to play as a pastor is to give them the word and to help them with the depression of their soul. When David said, he said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" You understand what I'm saying? Giving them that the word that's going to quicken their minds and their mortal bodies, right? So, but for everything else that is biological, then you need a prescription, and you need a therapist, and you need somebody that's going to, you know. And let me tell you something. There's a lot of people who, because their therapist has the degrees, that they hold their therapist in more esteem than they hold their pastor. And I think that's something that's so wrong. Like, that's not just because your therapist has the degrees. They have a degree for the things that they have studied, but they don't have a degree in the word. You understand what I'm saying? So your pastor is your pastor, and your therapist is your therapist, and your therapist should not try to play your pastor, and your pastor should not try to play the therapist, right? There has to be a categorization, and you need to put said in which boxes and whatever your needs are. Some plants need a little sunlight. Some plants need a little water. Some plants need, you know, fertile, you know, a soil, and different plants need different things. You as a plant need to, do I need my pastor today? Do I need my therapist today? You know, where am I in my word? And this, that, and the other. So don't discredit your pastor because they don't have a degree. And don't put your therapist on a pedestal because they do have a degree. There has to be a balance. There has to be a balance, because your pastor is the one that has Christ, okay, in them. And that power that has been given to them is what's going to help you out of the depression that can only be taken out through the Spirit. Because you can give somebody, you can drug somebody up as much as you want and try to speak all you want, but if you don't have enough power in the Spirit, then those demons are going to run roughshod all over that medicine. You understand what I'm saying? So there is a specific balance, and you need to be wise enough to find that balance. So don't discredit the therapist, pastor, and don't discredit the pastor, you therapists, and you who are listening to me. You need to find the balance, okay? And what The Rock was saying was, is that men need to, you know, open up and talk. But that's one thing that I appreciate about Cryer. Cryer will, my cousin, David Cryer, he will open up and talk. I need to talk. And that can be the one thing that helps him from not going crazy. Talking to the, not to the wrong person now, to the right person, even if it's just talking to God, can be the straw that is not added that breaks the camel's back. So if you don't talk to somebody, that might be the straw that breaks the camel's back. But if you do talk to somebody, you're holding that straw. So you might not break if you actually talk to somebody. I hope I'm making sense. Okay, so let's get into the commentary with Ryan Holiday. I've gone just a little bit long today. So here we go. Ryan Holiday says this. He says, despite of his privileges, Marcus Aurelius had a difficult time. The Roman historian Cassius Dio mused that Marcus, in quote, did not meet with the good fortune that he deserved, for he was not strong in body and was involved in a multitude of troubles throughout practically his entire reign. Meaning that Marcus Aurelius was, you know, kind of somebody who was plagued with sickness. Like he wasn't strong in his body, right? At one point, he was so sick that a rumor spread that he had died, and matters were made worse when his most trusted general used it as an opportunity to declare himself the new emperor. But throughout these struggles, the years at war, the crippling illnesses, his troubled son, he never gave up. It's an inspiring example for us to think about today if we get tired, frustrated, or have to deal with some crisis. Here was a guy who had every reason to be angry and bitter, who could have abandoned his principles and lived in luxury or ease, who could have put his responsibilities aside and focused on his own health. But he never did. His soul stayed strong even after his body became weak. He didn't give up. Right up to the second until his body finally did. When he died near Vienna in 180 AD. Isn't that something? Okay, so there's a lot that's going on with Marcus Aurelius. He's going through mutiny. He's going through sicknesses in his body. He's going through troubled children. And he still has the job to do to run the Roman Empire. He's still dealing with trade and politics and policies and all of that. And a lot of Roman emperors could have just, you know, gave it over to somebody else to run the country, some kind of politician to do his bidding. And he could have just stayed up in a room and with women and with parties and just with food and all the different kind of stuff. But he said, no, I have a job to do. He said, I have a job to do. I have a job to do. And no matter what happens, no matter if I get sick in my body, I'm going to do my job. And no matter if my children are acting crazy, I'm going to do my job. And no matter if, you know, people are jealous of me and they're trying to undermine me and take what I have, or, you know, my haters, or in this person who's even trying to take his position, He said, I'm still going to do my job. And if a weak, sick person like him, it would be feasible and it would be almost justifiable to him say, no, okay, I'm not going to be up there with a whole bunch of women. I'm not going to eat a whole bunch of food. I'm not going to give over my responsibilities to somebody else to run the country. I'm just going to focus on my health. I need to focus on my health right now. He didn't even do that. Everybody would be like, you know, that's, you know, a valid excuse. He needs to focus on his health. He's sick. This man said, I'm not doing it. I have a job to do. And he strengthened his mind and he did what he needed to do no matter what. And that is the lesson for today. Don't let the soul go before the body, right? That's exactly what is being said. Don't let the soul go first, no matter what these troubling, crippling things. And I know it's easier said than done. It is. It is. It is. You know, I'm not the one in your shoes. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know the demons that you have in your closet, the skeletons. I don't know the things that you have in your past. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know about the anxiety that you have about your future. But I do know this, is that the Bible says, as a man think, so is he. If you think that you're strong, you are strong. If you think you're a conqueror, you are a conqueror. If you think that you can make it, you can. That's one thing. I used to listen to 50 Cent back in the day. He had a record that said, get rich or die trying. You got something to do and you need to do it or die trying. And you can't let situations, circumstances, bills, people who are getting on your nerves, things that don't pan out quite right. You can't let those obstacles stop you and take away your soul before your body goes. If anything, let your body die before your soul. You understand what I'm saying? Like, let this, let it be a sign that you, your soul is ready to go by your body being ready to go. Right? Because let me tell you something. If your soul goes first, your body is going to go not too long afterwards. Right? That's why you don't call death, because death will come. Right? So don't spend too much time. I mean, you're human. You're going to get sad. You're going to get depressed. You're going to get tired, right? But don't spend too much time in that environment, in that atmosphere. Work your way up out of that. Surround yourself by some positive people. Surround yourself. Even if you got to go walk in a park. Do you know what the body does when you go walk in nature? All kinds of things start happening to your body. All kinds of chemical balances start to balance. And you take your shoes off and start grounding and you start walking in nature. You start doing things to your body that your body starts responding to say, oh, I'm still alive. And things start working. Your soul begins to respond differently because of your atmosphere. Some of you just need to get out of the atmosphere that you're in. Some of you are in some toxic environments and it's taking the soul from you, and you got plenty of body, but you don't got a lot of soul. Get out of those places as soon as possible. All right. All right. So let's, we talked about it. We introduced some things. We had some examples, but now let's go to the word. And let's pray about it. And then we'll be done. All right. Our scripture, we're praying through Psalms. And you'll find us in Psalms, the 30th chapter. And we're only going to read, I think, the first five verses. So get your Bibles and let's pray about this. And then we'll get out of here. Shema Israel, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Ha'hir, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord. The psalm says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and has not made my foes to rejoice over me. Oh, I just prayed this the other day when I was sick. Father, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, I do thank you. I give you praise. I give you honor. Thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for starting me on my day. Thank you for life, health, and strength. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for everybody under the sound of my voice. Thank you for this podcast. Thank you for being our King, our Savior, our Lord. And thank you for lifting us up. You said, for thou hast lifted me up. You saw that I was down. You saw that I was dejected. You saw that I was in a place of weakness. But you have lifted me up. And you has not made my foes to rejoice over me. I know I have some foes. I know I have some enemies. They're speaking over me even now. But God, you have not allowed them to rejoice over me. You did not allow my sickness to take me to the grave so I could be a byword. So the testimony might be, oh, look, he did this and now he's dead. No, God, you have lifted me up and I thank you. Oh, Lord, my God, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. Thank you for our healing this morning. Thank you for the healing of our minds. Thank you for the healings of our body. Thank you for delivering us from mental depression. Thank you for healing us from biological depression. Thank you for healing us from trauma. Thank you for healing us from sin. Thank you, O God. O death, where is thy victory? O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thank you for giving us victory over the grave, over the dirt that covers us up, over the death, over the toxic environment. Thank you for allowing our souls not to die before our bodies do. Thank you for helping us not to waste our youth in depression, waste our youth in sadness, waste our youth in anxiety. Thank you in the name of Yeshua the Messiah for giving us the strength to talk about what's ailing us, to talk about what we're going through. Thank you for giving us a friend, a pastor, a therapist that we can express ourselves to, a husband, a wife, a spouse that we can express ourselves to in order for us to bring us up out of this pit. It says, oh, Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. didn't you do it? I was headed to the grave in sin. But you brought my soul out of that grave. There's a lot of people under the sound of my voice who have a grave experience because they are in depression and they are sad and they are anxious and they're going through and they got chemical imbalances and their soul is headed to the grave. But you are lifting us up out of that. You brought us up. Thank you for lifting us up out of the grave. Thank you for lifting up us out of the depression. Thank you for lifting us up out of anxiety and stress and fear. Thank you. It says, thou hast kept me alive. Thank you for keeping me alive when I should have been dead, sleeping in my grave. You kept me alive. I thank you for life, health, and strength that I should not go down to the pit. Thank you, God, for giving us that deliverance. And it says, sing unto the Lord. Oh, this is why I sing. I don't sing to be heard. I don't sing to try to impress people. I don't sing because I sound good. I don't sing because of none of that. I sing because you have healed me. I sing because you have got my soul out of the grave. I sing because you have delivered me from depression. And even though it might come back, you still deliver me every time it comes back. You deliver me. And even in my biological depression, you deliver me. You've given me help. You've given me a doctor or a prescription or a therapist that can help me. You've given me a pastor that can help me. Hallelujah. And I thank you for your deliverance. And I thank you. And this is why I sing. It says, sing, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. for you have done all these things for me because you are holy? Is that what holiness is? Holiness is a commitment of a relationship of wholeness. Oh God, we thank you for the wholeness from your holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. Now I know I've made you angry. I know I've done things that have not pleased you. But I thank you for not being mad at me forever for it. I thank you for finding forgiveness. I thank you for crediting me another chance. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. I have life today. That means I have favor today. Thank you for not allowing my soul to give up its life because you favored me. Because weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. In Jesus' name, who is Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for being a part of the broadcast and the podcast today. Hopefully it said something to you. Hopefully it expressed some life to you. Come up out of that pit. Come out of that pit. Come out of that depression. Come out of that sadness. There's too much to live for, too much to be happy for, too much to sing about. See, when you have a relationship and not just religion, your religion can't get you up out of that pit, but your relationship can. If you haven't already, go to the Metaverse Bible Study on YouTube and subscribe today. Subscribe to the podcast. Allow somebody to be influenced by your subscription, by you touching the algorithm, by you watching. When you watch the videos all the way through, it influences the algorithm to go out there and touch other people because they say, hey, you might be interested in this as well. So thank you. And we will see you next time. This is Bishop DD, and I'm signing off. Have a great day.